Welcome back, Black Snakes. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser and Lieutenant Elizabeth Rogers. And today we are doing a very unique episode. It's our 1 year special anniversary episode. I can't believe it's already been 1 year. So today on air, we have with us the boss that started it all. He's an avid listener of podcasts, always looking for a way to communicate better, faster, and more efficient with the changes we face. And I think that's just a little bit of his personality anyway. He has been serving not only here, but other bases around too that you'll hear about. And then without further ado, Sir Colonel Joshua Wagner, welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, what's up? Thanks for having me.
And for a proper interview this time, I think last time we kind of just made you answer a bunch of questions.
Yeah, I think I just basically read a script and didn't get to like put any personality into it. So it'll be good to talk about what's important to you and what's important to the wing.
Well, I hope we can handle all your personalities.
Let's do it. Let's bring it. I'm ready. Let's go. Born ready.
So what do you think? 1 year anniversary. How's the podcast doing?
I don't know. TBD. Can you give like an incomplete grade? So I think we're moving in the right direction. Overall, the point was to communicate in a means that people were like accustomed to today. So I don't know about you guys, but my first drill actually got a flyer in the mail prior to, you know, like way back when, snail mail. And then it became like online digital flyers and things like that that just people frankly didn't read. So a couple years ago, now General Stoller started doing a video as a means to pass information. And we still do that. There are only two rules. It has to be one take and it has to be less than 8 minutes. Besides that, it's just kind of a free for all, getting information out to the airmen, and it was pretty well received. So the next natural like progression was to try a podcast because that's what people like to do now. It's easy to say like that's what Gen Z or millennials do, but it's not. That's what old people do. It's what everyone does. It's what my kids do, you know, and they're, my youngest is 12, so it just made sense to try something like this, and we had seen some successes other places, so we wanted to give it a shot. And I say it's TBD because it's still kind of growing. We haven't necessarily had the reach that we expected, but we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't know how this information would get out to the people that would want to hear it, and we didn't really know who wanted to hear it. So we're mixing things up a little bit. We're trying to keep it short, succinct, more to the point, concentrating on character as much as content. So getting people that know what to do with their hands when they're talking on a microphone and like can be entertaining and keep things fired up. We talked about the other day, like crown molding. I didn't really know what it was, but if you had the right person presenting like the topic of crown molding, it could be like totally engaging.
Right.
Or it could put you to sleep. So it kind of depends on who is talking as much as what they're saying and how they're saying it. So
yeah,
that's what we're going to try to do and keep bringing information that's important to the airmen, important to the people that support the wing, and really getting after the commander's intent, which is improving our communication, putting a fighter pilot spin on that, making sure that all communications are, you know, clear, concise, correct, and timely, and that this is just another means to do that. So it's not a flyer in the mail, but it's probably a little better.
Well, and it's on our phone. We all have our phone on us, and it's a quick listen on your platform that you prefer.
Yeah.
And then go from there. I think it's evolved. You gave us a few parameters too, so hopefully we've met those.
Absolutely.
Remind us what were the when we kicked this off, what were all the goals that you gave us?
I mean, it was pretty simple stuff. Yeah. Like we just wanted to take information, get it to the airmen, keep them engaged, keep them involved. A community outreach was important, so like try to find topics that people outside of the Black Snake family would find interesting. Because
or if they want to be part of the family,
bring it.
Yeah, let's go. Because
ultimately, like just being selfish for the wing, it's really about recruiting and retention. So retaining the people that we have that we want to keep and that want to be here, and communicating to them in a way that they want to hear things, and then finding that next generation to recruit. And if a 12-year-old kid listens to a podcast about something at home, then why can't they listen to a podcast about the 122nd and start planting that seed right now? So, yeah. It's just tough to say, like, is it a success? I think just getting it off the ground is a success. This is literally like a 5-second conversation between Chief and Liz. Like, hey, what do you think about podcasts? And then you guys ran with it. So I think we're doing great.
Yeah, and I think especially as we're going back to the F-16 again and bringing that platform back to Fort Wayne, that's a big change, not only for us, but for the whole Fort Wayne community. So being able to talk about that and our successes mm-hmm. and changes is a big part of this podcast. And we're going to push for that to let everybody know what we're doing in these future episodes.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that communication piece of retaining and telling people, getting to tell their story.
Yep.
And what that entails, like our base is made up of a million stories that are just so important to our legacy and our future.
Yeah.
So with that communication piece, a commander has a mission and a vision, maybe a statement or a slogan to go along with that, kind of a strategic outlook for the future. What are your commander's intent goals?
Yeah. So with the conversion, we had an opportunity to reset a lot of things. So Colonel Jandorf Pancake kind of ran with the mission and vision, put a team together, and like created statements that were appropriate for a unit in conversion. We realized after April 26, they're going to have to change because our mission will have changed. But right now, our number one JOB is to go from being the world's premier A-10 wing to being competitive and capable in the F-16. So because of that, we also looked at the motto, and our motto is Storm Hell. That comes from General Anthony Wayne, just in 69 seconds. The Battle of Stony Point in New York in 1779, it looked like something that would be tough for Wayne to win, but he went to General Washington and said, hey, give the orders, sir, and I'll storm hell. And then they won that battle against a larger force in a fortified position in 25 minutes. Anthony Wayne actually got shot in the head and still led the charge. And again, they won the battle in 25 minutes. So that's the kind of like spirit and ingenuity and initiative that we strive for as Black Snakes. And the ops group did a good job chasing down that story and making it our own. So that's really our motto. And that's kind of the way we want to approach things from now on. And then the other part of it, besides the mission, vision, and motto, is the commander's intent. So a commander is required to do that. So if it's something that you have to do, you might as well make it something that you want to do. And my theory on all things is three. So I'm not smart enough to handle four, and two doesn't engage me. So personally, I always strive for three things, and that's what we do every year. So we think about fly, fight, win. And when we think about flying, that's the mission. When we think about fighting, it's with innovation. And we talk about winning, it's the airmen win, the people win. So you'll see that in the new commander's intent for 2024, there's a lot of emphasis on just those three things: the mission of conversion, fighting the mission with innovation, and getting better, including communication and community engagement, and then just finding ways for airmen to win at something every day. If you can like go to bed at night and think of that one thing that you're really good at and you won on, then you should be a happy person. So whether it's like world's fastest and most effective toothbrusher, or like a big win, like, yeah, you know, shooting 90% from the free throw line or something, like those kind of things are what we try to provide for our airmen every day.
Yeah. Getting expert marksmen and getting that ribbon.
Talk that
that's
up.
A big win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You speak as if that happened to you recently.
One time.
Yeah. Okay. One time.
Maybe more, but
get the ribbon. So
yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So I love you keep things simple. Why do you choose to keep things so simple?
Because I'm super dumb. I don't know. It's like Southern Indiana Hoosier. I don't know. I think simpler is better. You can make things so complex that people like lose the forest for the trees. Like they don't understand. If you provide too much information, it's too much to you know, really conserve in your brain and make your own. There's a reason why phone numbers have seven digits, because that's how many digits people can handle. You know what I mean? So I just try to stick to three on all things. And at least at the end of the day, one of us will know what the hell's going on. So
yeah, if you have two others with you, you can each remember one.
Yeah, one. Yeah. Yeah. So three collectively, we're good to go. But, and it seems to work. I think, again, it allows you to stay focused. So being kind of facetious, but if you have too many objectives, then like the overall goals get watered down and lost. So yeah, really try to focus on those three things that can have the greatest impact for the mission, for, you know, the innovation that we need to execute the mission, and for the people. And if we can do that, then everybody wins.
And those three things can have a sub bullet too. So
absolutely.
It's not like they just, it's just a motivator,
yeah,
to keep you on track.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely.
What, out of those three things, flying, fighting, and winning, mm-hmm, what is the most challenging maybe that you've learned?
I think based on my experience, it's always the people stuff. So
we just We have a lot of hard stuff in life.
It is not easy, right? Yeah. Just being a person who's awake every day is a challenge. Right. So knowing that there are 1,100 people employed by this wing, 1,000 airmen that have similar struggles, when you compile those, it can be overwhelming. Or you can attack things as a team and everybody can win. So I think if you look at it, so for example, just in 2024, the commander's intent under like the win part, the airman win, is recruit and retain, which is always going to be a challenge. And that's a win every year for us. So last year, we carried the water for the state of Indiana because we finished the year at 103.3%. The goal is to be at 100%, but that's not good enough for us. So we're shooting for 102. We want to continue to be successful and not only just recruit kids that can pass a physical, but recruit kids that want to be here and then retain the best and brightest to make the next generation of Black Snake even better. Accountability, that's something that people struggle with, outside of the fence line. So it's not a surprise when they struggle inside the fence line. So we just wanted to make everyone, put everybody on notice. Like, accountability matters. You need to hold yourself accountable. You need to hold each other accountable. And if you're not, then you're doing it wrong. So we wanted to put a lot of emphasis on that this year. And then agency. And that's kind of like a new thing. Or it's not a new thing, but it's a concept that isn't talked about often. If I empower you, that means I give you something that I had, and now you're responsible for it. Right. But agency is something that you have internally. So based on who you are, based on your rank, based on your job at the wing, there are things that we expect you to do, and you don't have to ask. Because that's just, you just need to go do. If you're waiting for somebody to tell you what to do, you're doing it wrong. Like, consider your position in this wing, the agency that you have based upon that position, and get after it. If you have a question, like, ask and we'll help you out. If it's like illegal, immoral, unethical, then don't do it. Like, there, of course, are rules and restrictions they have to live by with that agency, but otherwise, just get after it. That's what we need people to do.
So, part of being a commander is having that mission and vision that often looks out in the future to a place that's not tangible, mm-hmm. that you can't really see when you're just doing the job every day. You have to look far beyond that. So how do you balance that with the day-to-day grind?
So let's see. First off, we are the sum total of our experiences. Like, as a person, we are what happened to us in the past. So a little bit of my background, I enlisted in Tucson, Arizona. I transferred to Terre Haute, Indiana. I was enlisted there in plan scheduling and documentation, worked in the MOC. I was commissioned in Terre Haute. I flew F-16s in Terre Haute until Black Friday 2005. So it was May 13, 2005, the BRAC rolled out, and Terre Haute was losing its flying mission. So I transferred to Springfield, Ohio in 2007, and we were BRAC'd and shut down in 2010. So again, in my experience, twice I was a part of a successful wing that lost its flying mission, and two is enough. Like, we're not going to do that again. So I determined that whatever I did in Fort Wayne after I left Springfield was going to be towards preserving the mission here and making sure that the next generation of fired up wannabe fighter pilot gets the opportunity to do just that. Right. So that kind of like balances your day-to-day activities, because you know what the overall goal is. Like, put this wing in a position where we will have fighters in Fort Wayne forever. That's kind of the guiding principle. But then, like, that if you're, it's like looking down the road. If your eyes are on your headlights, you're going to be chasing the yellow line. But if you keep your eyes on the horizon, you're going to have a straight path to where you're going. And that's really what we try to do. Like, don't get lost in the minutia. That is one thing I do try to empower people, and we as a command team do that. Like, push down responsibilities to the lowest level that people can, like, assume that authority, and let them get after it so that we can concentrate on other things that are at the highest level, like going to bat for the wing, getting in arguments at the state and national level to make sure that we have the things we need here at Fort Wayne to be successful in our conversion, and then plan for the future.
That really fits with the ACE initiative too, is
absolutely.
Like, understanding the commander's intent and being able to follow through even when you don't have your supervisor there to tell you what to do.
Yeah, speaking only for myself, I've never had an original thought. I just steal other people's good ideas.
Right, yeah.
And that's exactly what ACE is. Like, we may put you on an island out by a Kwajalein atoll in the middle of the Pacific to do a mission, and the seniorest person may be a master sergeant. Or like a captain who's a four-ship flight lead for, the four-ship that lands there, so they can refuel, refit, and go back to fight. So you're not going to be able to ask your full-time technician, senior master sergeant with 30 plus years of service, and the lieutenant colonel who's been flying jets out here forever, like what to do. Like that master sergeant and that captain are going to have to figure it out. So yeah, we're trying to like incorporate that at the local level and just make it a thing. Like, you have the agency, make a decision. We support you. If you have questions, bring them. But otherwise, go do your job.
Empowering us with that strategic mindset and our leadership having the forethought to keep fighters in the fort, what would you want to empower every airman to do to take that charge on?
Tell their story. So again, it gets back to recruit and retain. It doesn't matter how good we are if we aren't at 100% manning, right? So like, find the next generation of Black Snake in the community and bring them out here. Find your replacement. Mm-hmm. Like, stay smart about what we're doing out here. Stay engaged. Be a good representative of the Black Snakes in the community. And then just get after it. And that kind of ties to community engagement. We've made like a concerted effort to be more involved, to develop relationships with people that can make a difference, you know, at the local, state, and federal level. And we're starting to see the benefit of that because we have tons of support that we may not have had before. Yeah. But that it doesn't have to be me. Like, I get rolled into a bunch of stuff, and I know the command team does, and we're on the radio all the time, and we do TV spots, and we're in articles, and like, we're asked to do a lot of things, and we're like the visible part of the wing, and we probably should be to carry the message. But the real people that should be doing the work are the folks like talking to their buddy in the driveway, or going to the grocery store and talking to a kid who's wearing an Air Force shirt, you know, like that. Those are the people that really need to stay involved and engaged and make sure that, you know, we do have fighters in Fort Wayne for the next generation and beyond.
One of the best pieces of advice I got as a senior NCO, you know, wearing one of the top three ranks, is where's your reach back? Are you bringing someone with you to all these meetings, all these extra additional things you're doing to teach them? We're not knowledge hoarders. We are here as part of our job and our legacy to pass along that information and then let them have those fresh ideas, set of eyes, and how to make it better.
Yeah. And frankly, your stories are probably more interesting, and they're definitely more relatable to whoever your peers are. So if we can get those new A1Cs to go talk to folks that are their age or younger, the message will be more relatable. You guys like the Beatles, hopefully, but you know, the song,
the Beatles,
like, exactly, the long and winding road, like that. That's the path that we're on, and we've always been on it. It leads us where we're going, but we're all on different paths, mm-hmm. and hopefully the same destination. You know what I mean? Like, we have to commit to this organization. We have to bring like a passion and a fire to keep it where it is and progress beyond where it has been. And the only way to do that is to tell your story.
Right.
Do you think that the motivators to join the military have changed throughout your – have you seen that change throughout your career?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you ask my mom, she would have told you that, like, I only ever wanted to be a pilot. So it was easy for me. I didn't need a motivation. I didn't know what else I would do. I put all my eggs in one basket and it happened to work out. But I would say service was a big driver, like the G.I. Joe generation. Like, if you talk to my buddies, they said that was probably the biggest factor. And then if you go 10 years younger, actually, so again, I graduated in from IU in 99, and the state remission of fees passed in 2000. So there was no motivation for me to go to school for free because it wasn't an option. But then it was, and that became a big motivator for people. Like, I'll do my 6 years, and then I'll get 4 years of school for free. And at the end of it, like, I learned some stuff, and I didn't have to take any college loans. And I think that was a big motivator. But now I think we're getting back towards like service. People see the tangible benefit. And not to say that that hasn't always been like an underlying factor in people's decision to be part of the military, but I think the tangible benefits, the money is just there. Like, that's a standard now. That's an assumption. It doesn't really drive you there because you know you're going to have it whether you serve or not. You know, like, once you get here, you get those benefits. But I think just talking to kids that, well, the DEOC survey, like, people don't think we pay attention to those, but we do. And whenever you ask questions like, why do you serve, that community, state, nation comes up a lot, or some like version of that. Like, people want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. So it's still there. And I think that's a big, big factor in why people do this, as opposed to just like going to school or working at Amazon or taking some job downtown, because they don't get that same fulfillment that they would doing those other things.
Definitely agree.
Yeah.
In that DEOC survey, you alluded to reading them. Mm-hmm. What changes have been able to be made because of those DEOC surveys? Voices are heard.
Yeah,
things
absolutely.
Are read.
So what's a tangible benefit? So there were a lot of complaints about cold weather gear and a lack thereof. And prior to being the wing commander, I was the maintenance group commander, and we had similar complaints. So, I mean, you were over there as a first shirt. We basically built an airman's attic. We spent as much money as possible buying equipment for people that needed it. We made sure, or we thought we made sure, that that equipment got to them. But what we found out was there was like a stop. For some reason, there was a kink in the hose. And even though we had all this equipment and the gear that folks needed, it wasn't actually getting to the members. So we asked maintenance to do a 100% like survey on every airman to make sure that they had everything they needed to do their job in inclement weather. And what we found out was there a bunch of them didn't. It was just like setting in boxes somewhere and it hadn't actually been issued. So if people hadn't like raised their voice and said, hey, I'm cold outside whenever I'm turning an A10 in January. Well, of course you are. But I'm extra cold because I don't have gloves and a hat and thermals and stuff like that. But we thought we had done a good job, but we would have never known that it wasn't getting to us or getting to the member because the information wasn't getting to us. And that's my biggest struggle, I think, as a commander, is communication. There's always a stop and you don't know where it's going to be. Sometimes we'll say stuff in a meeting that we think gets pushed down, you know, through the commanders, through the supervisors, all the way down to the individual airmen in the shops. And for some reason or another, the message either changes or it never gets there. And the same thing, like, I'm sure that those airmen said something to someone, but at some point, like, that message didn't get all the way up to the top where we could, you know, make an impact on keeping them safe and warm while they're trying to, like, hot pit refuel A-10s in the winter in Fort Wayne. So that's just, like, one example of something that wouldn't have changed. Well, likely wouldn't have changed if we didn't have those surveys.
I hear hot chocolate in January helps too.
Hot chocolate doesn't hurt. Yeah, I don't know. Especially if you put a little extra something in there.
Well, and a wing commander brings it to you too.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'm a fan.
Big pitch.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, things getting back to you, mm-hmm. what is your open door policy when it comes to people telling you stuff? I know we have that icon on the desktop, that virtual comment.
Yep. No, frankly, nobody uses it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can we take that off and put the podcast?
You probably can. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So if you say you have an open door, you'd be surprised how many people actually walk through it. So at all levels, I've tried to maintain that and then encourage other commanders and supervisors to do that. And my only rule was my door is open unless it's closed. And if it's closed, it doesn't mean that you're unimportant or I'm doing something bigger or better. It just means I'm doing something else at that time and I can't respond to your immediate question or query or issue. But as soon as that door's open, like, you're welcome to come on in. And a lot of people do. The command staff knows that if somebody comes to the door and I have a hole in my schedule and it's open, then that anyone in this wing has free access to the commander. Sometimes I'll push back a little bit on the complaint, or sometimes I'll say, hey, have you asked your supervisor? Have you talked to your commander? Did you go to your first shirt? There are a bunch of avenues that might be more effective in getting that person, you know, a remedy for their problem quickly, as opposed to taking it right to the wing commander. But if they want to bring stuff to me, absolutely I will. And then I'll probably walk them down the hall to their boss, or I'll go to the first shirt with them and I'll make sure that they have access to the resources that they need. Or I'll just say, like, hey, this is military. Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to. You don't have to understand everything that you do, because that your level is to execute and our level is to decide. And I'll provide as much information about that decision as I can, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy about it.
Right.
And the other thing is, like, user resources. So we have SARC, we have DPH, we have IG, we have other avenues, chaplain, all those family readiness, things like that, that can help people out. We try to push them in those directions if that's the appropriate answer.
And those people are experts in their field.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to an expert in the field, no different than, you know.
Like I told you, I don't know
anything. Instead of the wing commander.
Yeah, so Socrates. Actually, another song. So I don't know if you've ever heard Knowledge by the group Operation Ivy.
No.
Look it up. So they're like an 80s and 90s punk band. They're pretty awesome. But basically the lyrics are, all I know is that I don't know nothing. And it's like from Socrates, because that was his point. Like, the more he knows, the less he knows. Hmm. Or, you know that you don't know things. And that's the case. In command, that's your life. Like, I don't know the answer to any of these things. I used to be able to fly a plane pretty good, and now I can't even do that because I'm super old. But I know people, and I can push you in the right direction to get the resources that you need.
Yeah, I like that. It's almost like it's your life philosophy. I don't know anything.
I don't.
Only comes in threes.
It comes in threes, and then if it's four, it's too much, and I'm going to push you somewhere else.
There you go.
But yeah, look it up, Operation Ivy.
Okay.
Yeah, Operation I think it's like Ivy. 2 minutes long. It won't be a big impact on your day to listen to that song.
So. Thank you. You mentioned community outreach.
Yeah.
That is one of the initiatives in your 2024 Commander's Intent. What does that look like on your end? I know we have a few things on base, like honorary commander. We're doing the podcast. Recruiting is well involved in the community. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. They're involved with us, too. We host an air show here.
Yeah.
So what does it look like from your aspect?
So, like, the overarching principle on that is we are the community. So it shouldn't really be outreach. It's just, like, talking to people you know. There are a lot of people that support this wing. If you don't know, going back to BRAC 2004, one of the reasons Fort Wayne was so successful is they started something called the Northeast Indiana Base Community Council, NIBCC, which exists today. I went to one of their meetings yesterday, and it was basically a bunch of people in the community that said Fort Wayne will not lose their fighter jets, and we have the influence, the pull, the connections to make sure that doesn't happen. And guess what? It didn't happen. So we work with organizations like that that have an interest. I've been to a lot of, like I said, I've been part of four different wings. I've been actually just assigned to four different wings. I've gone to a lot of others to fly or work or whatever. But Fort Wayne by far has the best community support, like top to bottom. Okay. Like it's hard to go in town and actually buy your own lunch in uniform. Somebody like surprises you all the time, or they pay it forward at the coffee shop or something. Like the support we get here is like second to none.
Colonel Wagner, there have been a lot of rumors floating around that we could be getting a new base that might better meet the needs of the fighter wing. Could you confirm or deny those rumors?
So, sure, there's more than rumors there. It is a tag imperative that we modernize to keep fighters in Fort Wayne for the long run. So through Brigadier General Stoller down to the wing, we're working with our partners in the community and the state to kind of formalized base modernization. That's what it's called, and that's really what it is. We know that we can't have a future mission on a base with a railroad track down the middle. So we have been, I'd say for the last year, working with the Airport Authority, Greater Fort Wayne, Inc., and our local legislators to secure the funding needed to kind of execute the process to build a new base somewhere else on this airport. And it's going really well. So within the last few weeks, Greater Fort Wayne, Inc., a community partner that's responsible for business development in Fort Wayne, secured $150,000 for us to go towards the development of a plan to kind of determine the feasibility of having a new base here. So we're doing all the kind of boring, monotonous paperwork right now, which will turn into a really exciting future for the 122nd.
How many years down the road do you think that will be?
You know, when you look at those sorts of military construction projects, it's, you know, 10, 12 years. Just securing the funding, getting approval from the right people and kicking off the project will take a while too. So I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but you got to start sometime. And that time is now.
Where do you think this base might be at?
Sure. So right now we've identified like three primary courses of action. One is to keep the base where it is and kind of update, upgrade. And that there is also a large plot to the east of Indianapolis Road, kind of by the Amazon warehouse. That has been set aside. And then there's also an area south of our control tower on the southeast side of the airfield that would work for what we're doing here. So the airport has a lot of property. They have some set aside for growth and they're willing to share with us. So we need about 200 acres and there are multiple places where we can get that acreage.
Sir, thank you again for your time today and giving us some insight and telling us a little bit of your story, Black Snakes. This is your opportunity to respond, share the show, and leave a review. Let's make this the fastest growing military podcast out there.
Storm Hal.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.